Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is John Petronzio. Petronzio is a singer, songwriter, and musician. He is a graduate of Ithaca College's School of Music, where he earned his degree in music education. For many years, he was known as a member of such great bands as John Brown's Body and Revision, but in 2014, he went solo. He's recently released his second solo CD called Midnight Hour, which features his unique blend of reggae and soul music. Petronzio also works as a private piano and songwriting teacher. And welcome back.
Thanks, Tish. Thanks for having me.
Now, you released your first solo CD in around 2014, right?
That's right.
And I was just wondering, what's a solo career been like? Is it a total transition, or is it scary, or what?
That's a good question. To go from these bands where you're sort of strength in numbers to kind of a solo career is a lot more vulnerable, I'd say. In the DIY age, everything sort of falls on your shoulders.
Yeah. So
as much as I'd love to have a label and a whole crew of people working behind me right now, it's just little old me. So, and I do everything from the writing of the songs, the production, playing them, and then promotion and design, the whole thing.
Yeah, well, so you must have more creative freedom to do what you want. Does that feel good, or do you feel like you need some constraints?
It definitely does. You know, sometimes I miss the round table aspect of what it's like to be in a band, but it is sort of refreshing to be able to be the executive decider and make the decision. So, you know, I do have my bandmates. You know, this project has a lot of different iterations, and I do a lot of work solo, but I also, we go all the way up to 8-piece with full horns and percussion. You know, so
you're not totally alone.
As
you do this,
at least in the creative and the live show aspect, there's input from the phenomenal musicians that
I would think, you know, going from collaboration to trying to do solo work would be a real challenge.
Yeah, I think ultimately I would love to gain a level of success where I have my bandmates and they're fully on board and committed. Especially in a town like Ithaca, it's very. There's so much music and everybody's so busy. They play in so many different bands.
Yeah.
But I would ultimately love to have a band that's solid and everybody can literally make a living at it. To do.
No, I can understand that. It would give you some kind of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, too, have you approached songwriting differently now that you're writing solo for yourself and whatever you arrange as your background?
My songwriting process has always been in a constant state of evolution. My first album, which we had met the last time, Light at the Speed of Life, was really, to me, kind of the arrival of my songwriting voice, where I, since the beginning of my songwriting career, writing the music was always very easy, and the lyrics was tremendously difficult.
Oh.
And so on that first record, I kind of like half arrived. I just had sort of figured out the process by which I could really write meaningful lyrics. And at that point, I had already been working on that record for 7 years. So when I finally got the last 4 or 5 or 6, I didn't remember, songs done, I was like, get it out of my life. I need to get on to the next thing. And so what's really refreshing about Midnight Hour is that every word has been chosen exactly, because at the beginning of this project, I had my process in place. And it's something I teach as well.
Right,
like
right.
You mentioned, I'm a teacher for piano, but also songwriting and production, recording.
So you can pull in all aspects of what you need to do.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Midnight Hour, and then I'd like to play the first excerpt to tell us how it evolved and does it have a theme?
You know, I think my songwriting slant is oftentimes kind of a fulfillment of the name as medicinal music, so positive, hopeful, joy are some of the words that my listeners and family and friends will say that the music evokes. And I try and write songs for people to relate to and in dark times. And so of all the titles on the track, I chose Midnight Hour. I thought it spoke for the totality of the album.
Mm-hmm.
this album has 24 tracks, and I just chose the 11 that were done. Mm-hmm. So there's actually another whole set of music. So I didn't necessarily write it as a concept album where it was, you know, every track was supposed to be in their exact order or anything.
Yeah.
So I just kind of chose the ones that went together well. But yeah. So, yeah, thematically, I think Songs of Hope.
Yeah. No, I could see that, absolutely. I want to listen to an excerpt from the new work. This one's called The Other Side. It's a political song. It's more political than some of your...
It is, yeah.
Do you want to say a little bit about it before we listen?
Yeah, when I wrote this record, it was during my time out at Standing Rock with my partner, Regina, and one of the things that a line in there is about choosing oil and corporate greed instead of helping those in desperate need. And so that was kind of one of the sort of spark lines that our president chose to push the pipeline through, which was kind of an affront to all of our work out there and helping the natives to protect their water. So,
well, let's listen to an excerpt from The Other Side. You know what? I was so excited when I heard this. I love people who get into the realm of politics when it's necessary, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People need to lean on music and art that speaks to them about the current events. Yeah.
Right.
Now, you know what I want to know, too? What led you to decide to go solo? You were with two successful bands. You seemed to be thriving. you had so many opportunities to show off your talents.
Right. My time with Revision was very much, I was a third of that band. We were all equal owners, and ownership over creativity and the van and all of that. And it's a little tricky. That was sort of my foray into being a musician and traveling and touring and recording and doing all the things that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Brown's Body, I was kind of jumped into a well-established band. I got to play through the 20th year of John Brown's Body's existence. And so in a lot of respects, I was more of kind of a hired gun. Certainly considered a member for the time, but as far as writing, you know, what was concerned, I didn't really do much of that. In order to play the songs, I was kind of putting my musicianship to the parts. But I don't know, I think everyone who is a musician or a creator in general is at some point has to say, well, maybe I could be the leader. Maybe I could be the voice.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I figured why not try and see how it feels to put my voice in the front.
Well, you seem to have all the talent and tools. It did seem like an absolute normal transition to me.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of signs over the years of people encouraging me to put my music out and share it. And, you know, we were talking before, I don't have like a classically amazing voice. I'm not a singer primarily, but I do have a unique tone that you can identify. As soon as you hear me sing, usually people can say, yeah, that's...
And the emotions are coming out more in your, maybe because you are going solo.
Yeah.
And you're letting aspects of your own life come out
sure.
more easily.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to another excerpt from Midnight Hour. This one's called Nothing Comes for Free. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, it all started with that line, nothing comes for free. And a lot of times, like, you kind of write from the hook. So I wrote out as many different things and different themes that in which nothing comes for free.
Mm.
This one is lyrically, I think, some of my best work, and is also a really fun example of what happens when you wake up at 3:30 in the morning and feverishly write a song down.
Oh, yeah.
All the music kind of wrote itself in this feverish moment.
Let's listen to it.
Getting hot, the temperature's rising. Tempers flaring everywhere I see. Fisticuffs, ready for the flying. Locked up jaw and fiery eyes as cold as steel. It gives me pause, what's with all the anger? God, it's so much better than we think. Get down to the root, the cold hard truth. We know that nothing comes for free. Whoa, yes, we know that nothing comes for free. Far away for pennies on the dollar. Knowing day and night at the machine. Such a shame in a world with so much money, but still can't afford to feed the family. But go ahead and live it up forever. Someone's got a
If you're just joining us, my guest is John Petronzio. He's a singer, songwriter, and musician. And we're talking about his newly released second solo CD called Midnight Hour. You know what struck me about Nothing Comes for Free? The anger in the culture and how you're trying to address that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very, very interesting. You must be being touched by what's happening in our culture right now.
Yeah, yeah. I've written a few songs kind of along this line of we're sort of afforded a level of comfort, which so many around the world would only consider to be a dream, literally a dream, you know, to even just like walk up to a buffet table, you know, and just see all this food. And I often think about that at holiday times. It's just, we have these comforts, but they don't just come for free. And that in some cases, the first verse is about sort of the, I have to remember my own verses.
But you were talking about the abundance in the culture and people are still angry no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost would like want to see the lyrics because once I start singing it, I'll have all the words for you.
Yeah,
but to just like pick them out in specific points is hard. But
yeah, yeah. You know, the last few years, the last couple years really, I've talked to a lot of writers and artists, and they're talking about how they're really being tapped by the current political culture.
Yeah.
How they have to address it, and I'm sensing that from you too. This is very personal, and it has so much to do with what's happening in our political world, especially.
Yeah, definitely is, and I like kind of reminding people about that person who's sewing day and night at a machine to barely make a living for their family.
Oh yeah.
And that what the value of money is, that's really kind of the, to sum that song up. And we can sort of continue to live our lives in decadence and ignorance of nature around us and how we're kind of abusing it. But eventually we'll kick the can down the road and somebody's going to have to pay for
somebody's
it eventually.
Have to pay or help save it.
Yeah.
Save what we created.
Yeah, I think we're really there too.
I do too. Are you hearing more of that from people on tour when you have fans coming up and talk to you?
I don't know necessarily. Maybe after this album really kind of disseminates and gets out there, perhaps that will happen more than it does. But I think in general, just you know, this generation is waking up and realizing that we got to change something, you know, if we're going to be able to, you know, our children and their children are going to be
living
in a clean world.
And people are relearning how to stick up for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have felt like they have no power.
You know, like I have my friend Wei, Papa Muse. He used to run Muse Fest and he has a plastic free challenge, which is so cool. Like he's just a fervent defender of the environment and advocates banning single-use plastic, you know, straws and coffee lids and stuff like that. And it's cool. He challenges me all the time on, you know, like to hold me true to my own words, you know.
Wow. Wow. Well, let's listen to another excerpt from Midnight Hour. This one's called Daydream.
Mm-hmm.
It's a love song.
Yeah, it's a love
voila.
Song. Voila. Yeah, yeah. This is a song that I wrote on my looper. My crazy looper machine, which was sort of the way this whole album was really written, was my creating a set of music when I couldn't get my bandmates to play with me. And so to be a full band from drums and bass percussion and all the way up to the song, Daydream wrote itself on a looper and just kind of like caught it.
I don't sense that people are writing that many love songs anymore. There's too much stuff going on, and perhaps it becomes trite.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Maybe. They say the world could never have enough silly love songs.
Oh, and this is a beautiful one, too. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, since I saw you last, you've had a child. You have a son.
Yes.
How has that changed you as a creative person?
It's mostly derailed it.
Really?
Yeah, my son is a whole lot of trouble in the best way.
But he must inspire as well.
He does, yes. I'm kind of looking forward to, as he gets a little, well, he just started sleeping this past week.
Wow.
He slept 13 hours the other night, which for 18 months we've been up pretty much every hour on the hour. So I haven't really gotten back to the creative flow yet, but now that we're sleeping again, that's a pretty pivotal part, I think, to capturing that creativity. So
obviously, since you have a kid, you don't tour as much, right?
And is
staying at home and staying around your familiar territory offering different creative ideas for you? I'm surprised you haven't gotten back, for instance, into your classical roots.
Yeah, I think that will come eventually. We bought a house, me and my partner bought a house in March. And having a baby at the same time was tremendously difficult. But I built a studio in the house, and it's wonderful space. I love to be in there. I teach a lot in there.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, as the dust settles, life gets back into a routine. Because it was so tumultuous to kind of be a renter and jumping from place to place while we're doing the renovations with the baby.
This past
summer was a challenging one for sure. And we're just kind of getting back into this routine now. Again, the sleep is huge and the house is mostly done. We'll have a little renovation stuff going on, but he is my world. He is inspiring me in ways I had never imagined.
Wow.
And just getting on his level. So I can totally see, you know, writing a children's album because I sing songs to them all day, you know.
Wow.
And then when I finally get my beautiful, upright Steinway piano, then I'll write my classical record kind of go back that way.
Yeah, and that's every artist I've ever talked to said their children inspire them, even though they had trepidation beforehand, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's inspiring to watch someone grow and change.
And there's no before them. It's an interesting thing. I try to imagine, like, what it would be like without him now, and it's like my brain goes full tilt. I just can't do it. And so I really love and appreciate the getting down on their level. It actually helps me access memories from my own childhood that I'd totally forgotten. Kind of vague, foggy memories of like sitting up in your crib and crying out.
Wow.
Hoping for somebody to come pick you up. You know, it's like when he goes through those things, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I guess I do kind of remember that. It's kind of cool.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So you're intimately involved in your child. You know, I mean, a lot of people aren't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it helps that I work from home and teach and write in my studio. And so he's always right on the other side of the door screaming for me to come and play.
Well, John, I want to play a final cut from Midnight Hour. This one's Can't Get Over You. Mm-hmm. You want to tell us a little about it?
Yeah, this is one, another that I wrote, one of the very first songs I wrote. It used to have a different title and different lyrics. I came up with the melody and just started to realize that it was a love song. And it didn't necessarily know that when I was writing it. Oftentimes, that's the case. I write many different subjects, and then whatever one seems to fit the best will kind of be the winner. And I had written tons of lyrics, and I was reading them to Regina, and she goes, "That's it, right there. It's a love song. It's perfect."
Two love songs.
Yeah, two
that we've just featured. You know, your voice is really beautiful on this. So do you do anything to take care of your voice?
I probably should do more. 40 students a week is starting to shred it up.
Let's listen to "Can't Get Over You."
Okay, sounds good.
Can't get over you. Can't get over you. Can't get over you. So I guess I'll just have to go around. Never thought in the whole wide world that I would ever find a girl that would be so perfectly matched in heaven and forged in destiny. in mystery. How we grew and came to be. I can tell you honestly, I love you madly. Would you say I do? Don't you worry, 'cause everything's gonna be alright. Don't go crazy, it's always darkest before the light. That's why I'm still right next to you.
I can't get over how beautiful your voice is. And I assume that you probably do need to take care of it, teaching that much. I want to talk about that for a minute. How do you do that? You have dozens of students a week.
Yeah, it wasn't always that way. But when the touring stopped and, of course, buying a house sort of ramped up the need for more income, and word kind of just got around that I was teaching a lot and was a lot more available. So I've always had a really easy time getting students here in town just by word of mouth. And it's only, you know, the more students you have, the more word of mouth goes around. And yeah, I try to be a really good teacher. And
oh, yeah. And you're so versatile. Classical, reggae. Yeah. You do all of it.
I do. Yeah, I have a lot of hats.
Well, before we finish, can you give some contact information? And is there any place where people could see you in the next couple months?
Yeah, so you can find any of the music online at Roadman Music is the handle. Roadman.us is our website, and so if you want to listen to Midnight Hour, it's on YouTube and iTunes and all of them. We've got some gigs booked. We have a trio show here at The Range in Ithaca on February 2nd. Rochester Flower City Station on February 8th. I'll be doing a solo set there. And then it's a ways out, but July 12th, we'll be doing the Cornell Summer Concert Series, and that'll be the full band.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to hear your new stuff and to see that you're still thriving.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tish.
Thank you, John. Again, I've been talking to John Petronzio, and we've been talking about his new CD, Midnight Hour. Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.